Hi, I'm Tracy Heisler. I'm Executive Director for CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties.
I'm Jeff Warren. I am the Director of Community Outreach here at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties. CASA Shaw, it is great to have you with us, joining us here on this very first episode of the CASA Connection. And I'm going to let Tracy take it over from here, because what we initially want to do with this first episode is tell folks who CASA is, what we do. I think it's important, Tracy, that we establish just who we are and the good work that is done in the community for foster children through our organization, and in fact, many CASA organizations throughout the country.
I agree, Jeff. So for those of you who are new to this world, CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. It's also known as the Guardian Ad Litem Program, or GAL program, in other states. CASA is a national model that is based out of Seattle. It was created in 1977 as a pilot project by a family court judge who, in a hearing, was getting information from the parent's attorney and then was getting the exact opposite information from the child welfare attorneys, and really wanted to know what was happening truly in the lives of children. So he appointed some volunteers, deputized them to be his eyes and ears for the court, and sent them into the homes to talk to the children directly and find out what was happening. And they came and reported back. They made recommendations to the court based on their assessment of the best interests of the children. And CASA was born.
I could imagine at that time how folks, either they were behind the scenes, on the periphery, saying to themselves, wow, this is such a valuable tool within our society. Things are not perfect family by family. Unfortunately, children are removed from their homes, but a CASA, an independent voice, what you mentioned, that independent voice for children who are navigating their way through this system, is absolutely needed. And thank goodness it was found back in Seattle, back many decades ago.
Agreed. And it was such a successful model within the Seattle court that it rolled out nationally. It was actually kind of late coming here to New Jersey. Our CASA program serving Somerset County didn't begin until January of 2006 of serving children. We opened in Hunterdon County in 2010, Warren County 2008. So it's, but it is such a valuable tool for the court because it not only gives more color and information, but the judge gets the opportunity to hear directly from the child. Mm. And the judge gets an independent voice who's talking to the kids' teachers, to the guidance counselors, to the therapists, to the foster parents, to the biological parents. And they're able to, in their court reporting, give the judge a holistic and realistic current view of how that kid is doing, with recommendations that are specific to that child's needs in the moment. It's an invaluable resource.
It absolutely is. And I think there are individuals out there still who don't necessarily know what CASA does or what CASAs do. They're not caseworkers. They're not county caseworkers at all. And sometimes I think there's that misinformation that is either provided or just people don't have the information about what a CASA can do for children. But again, like I was saying, they are not case workers. And I think that's important for people to understand.
Agreed. And they're volunteers. They are not providing direct services. They are serving as the eyes and ears of the judge and providing the judge with independent information.
Right. There's no bias, correct?
Exactly.
There's no bias. You read court reports that are provided by our CASA volunteers. There's no bias at all.
They're all objectively reported. And for people who are listening thinking, well, you can't go into this and not have bias, we actually have significant checks and balances within our program.
Absolutely.
To make sure that things are reported objectively and fairly, and any recommendations that are made are absolutely based on this factual information. There's no, I think, I feel, if it were me, I would. It's all based in fact and in the child's best interest.
It absolutely is. And Tracy, I think what's also important too is that CASAs are special people. And I think we need to talk a little bit about that as well.
Oh my gosh, our volunteers are amazing.
They are amazing human beings.
They really are. And if you we used to say for years, this isn't shelving library books, right? We require a 2-year commitment, and people step up and they do it. And they go to the children's school meetings. They go to the court hearings. They will sit with parents and try to help them figure out what the barriers are to completing their case plans, right, and help research how to help. They provide these, you know, fantastic reports to the judges to give them a real window and insight into what's going on for this specific child. It's not even, you know, a family group. We generally have just one family at a time for advocates. So their attention is very focused on the needs of each child as an individual.
Absolutely.
And that's just something that you don't generally see in the child welfare system, because there are just too many kids,
right,
to be able to give that kind of color.
Absolutely.
So our judges know if we have a kid who loves to play piano. They know if there's a kid who excels at football. They know if there's a kid who's failing math, because we get down to that granular level of how that child is doing. And I think that really enhances not only our advocacy as an organization, but it helps to stabilize a kid in the short term and help them to thrive in the long term when they're seen,
right,
and they're getting what they need.
Absolutely. The one, I guess, theme for me, and the overriding theme of being the director of community outreach, you've been the executive director here for well over a decade. I've been with this CASA program now for over 4 years. I go back to a theme that CASA has value. CASA has tremendous value, not just for the children, not just for the families that we serve, but for the judges as well, and even for caseworkers on the county level too, but specifically for the judges. And I'm not going to speak for every single judge, of course, in the state of New Jersey, but judges in this state in general find value in the CASA volunteers, court reports, and what they bring to the table and to the equation. I think that's very important for us to realize too.
It is. And we've actually done judge satisfaction surveys, here in New Jersey, and CASA is highly valued. I can tell you here in our program, serving Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties, the judges have accepted our recommendations well over 95%.
It's amazing.
The time.
What an amazing number that is.
Yeah, over the last 16 years. I started as a CASA volunteer myself in 1999 in a Florida guardian ad litem program, and I fell in love with this ability to make a meaningful difference in the life of a kid who really needed someone to be there. And I know that my judge, Judge Brace, depended heavily on my reports, and he read every single word that I wrote.
Right.
And then coming here to New Jersey, we had Judge Diltz, who did the same. He highly valued CASA's reports, and he would reference them. He would look for clarification because CASA had brought something up that wasn't in the division report, and it gave him the opportunity to really drill down into the needs of children. We've seen several more judges come and go here in the Tri-Counties over the last 16 years that I've been here. But to a person, our judges have found value in the work that our advocates do.
They absolutely have. And I think as we move along here, not just with this podcast, but with serving children, I think the overriding phrase and tagline that really comes from National CASA of change a child's story, we've seen it. We've seen it so many times over the years. Not everyone has a success story, but there are tiny granular successes that we see that really truly do make a difference in the lives of foster children and their families in the end. And inevitably, that's what we do. That's what we're here for. And when we are able to take even the smallest success and highlight that, I think it's so important because it shows that it's good work that we're doing. I think it shows the community that we do have that value and that we truly are making a positive difference in the lives of children who need someone, that stability in their life.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that has been on my mind for some time, but it's come home even more profoundly in recent days. Today is May 27th, 2022. We're a few days out from the shooting in Uvalde.
Yeah.
And, My mind keeps going to the shooter. The number one predictor of coming out on the other side of child abuse and neglect is having at least one caring, engaged adult,
right,
who is competent and who is supportive of you, and who cares,
right,
about what happens to you. And for so many of our kids who don't have that in their parents, in their grandparents, in extended family members or family friends, they have it in their CASA volunteer. And I have to wonder about this 18-year-old kid who felt so helpless and hopeless and alone that he was so enveloped in darkness.
Yeah.
That who was that person for him?
Right. Exactly. It's a question with that particular situation in Texas. We're certainly going to be learning more in the weeks and months to come, but inevitably it just takes one person. It takes one stable adult in a child's life to make all the difference in the world. It's what we do here at CASA. And I am going to continue enjoying doing these podcasts in the future with you, Tracy, because we're making a difference. It's important that we highlight that. And it's also important that we celebrate successes, but also to educate the general public about what foster care is, how they can help, how we can all come together in the end as one community. And I think that's important.
I do too, Jeff. And really, at the end of the day, what we want to see is our kids not just survive foster care, but thrive
right
moving forward. And that's our whole goal. We want to do no harm, provide supports, and make sure that we are as well-trained and as empathetic and as effective advocates as we can be for these children, not only for the children, but for their families as well.
Yeah.
We're cheerleaders for parents. We celebrate their successes. We want them to be able to be reunified as a family wherever it's possible.
That's the goal.
It is. And as an organization, that's our overriding mantra.
Absolutely. If you have not already visited our website, please feel free to do so. CASASHAW, CASASHAW.org. And there's a lot of great information on there. We've got a great resources page with plenty of resources that you can pass along to individuals in our community who may need a little bit of a helping hand. And I got that website promo right out of the way here at the end,
well,
Tracy.
Well, you can also follow us on Facebook.
There you go.
We have lots of information about child abuse and neglect, information about resources for children and families, and best practices for how we can best support vulnerable children and
absolutely
families.
And let's not forget about Instagram and Twitter too, at CASA _Shaw. We are out there on the interwebs, folks. So I think that's going to do it for us here on our first episode of CASA 101. And we're going to have a lot of great discussions in the future, Tracy.
We are. And if anybody has questions, comments, feel free to reach out to us at info@casashaw.org.
All right, folks. You all take care. Remember that you can help change a child's story.